Thank you so much. Good morning. How are you? Good to see you. Just as we start, I'm just wondering if you can, I just want to do a short survey, right? So what I'd like you to do is call out your answer. I'll give you two options. I want you to just yell back at me what your preferred option is. And just where we went, are you a board games person or are you a me time person? Okay, would you say you know or Uno? Yeah, that's the right answer. Would you say, like a cooking, would you say Basil or Basil? Thank you, Basil, good. Would you say vitamins or vitamins? Would you say schedule or schedule? Toblerone or Toblerone? Toblerone, really? I don't know how we're ever going to get along. Right, so just following on from Pastor, so glad Pastor Neil, he must have been reading my stuff because, you know, when we come to communion, we come together as brothers and sisters, and yet we have these little disagreements. How will that work? So, this morning I want to start here in the letter that the Apostle Peter wrote to Christians in Asia Minor. And look, why am I starting off with a quiz? You'll see as we go, all right? So just hold that. We're starting in the first book of Peter, chapter 1, which he wrote approximately 60 AD. And it says this, chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, capital S, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So today I want to talk about the miracle of living stones. Amazing. Can we just pray for a minute? Lord, we know that you want to fill us, you want to make us whole again, you want to do a work in us that we could never do ourselves. And so we ask you that you'd, as we study your word, we would just have this sense of your spirit enlivening us to you and to each other. We pray in Jesus' name. So let me go back and set the scene. We're talking about living stones, which is like a paradox, isn't it? Living stones. How could that ever happen? But I reckon the theme of this living stones idea starts way back, way before the book, the letter of Peter. Maybe Joshua 24, he talks about a stone being a witness. Remember that? It says, the stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words of the Lord. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Like, how can a stone be a witness? Could you argue that even before that, when God made humans out of dust, that may be a bit of stonework as well? I don't know, just thinking that through. But then he breathed into the dust and everything changed, right? We move on to the temple stonework of King Solomon in 2 Chronicles, building the first permanent temple for the Lord. It had been a tent and moved around before that. And there were 80,000 stone cutters creating blocks for the temple, sort of perhaps similar to what you might see there. That photo's from Jerusalem. I had the opportunity to go about 10 years ago and this is one of the pictures I captured. It just kind of sets up that building process and intricate, and not just the building, the rocks on the outside, but the intricate paneling on the inside and the gold and the precious stones and the carving and all that had to happen to see God's glory. Because that's what happened. When then we're worshiping, at the end, the temple's ready, the glory comes in. This presence comes in. They can't do their duties as priests, because the thickness of the cloud and there's some visual manifest presence of the Lord, and everyone's just on their knees worshiping. An amazing, amazing moment. Then, if you're following through history, you know that the Jerusalem was invaded and they were taken into exile. The Jews were taken into exile, and then later after that, the God calls them back in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they're speaking and leading the rebuild after they're returning from exile, stone upon stone. And it's interesting that even the goldsmiths and the merchants had a section of the wall around the city to rebuild. Can you imagine being a merchant and Nehemiah comes and says, hey, you've got to build the wall. Hey, bro, I'm not a builder. I don't haul stone, I sell it. Yeah. Right? Or the jewelers may have said, hey, my hands need to be delicate and clean to work with jewels and stuff. I don't do rock wall stuff. Come on. And yet, the word was, let's build. And there's something that the Lord does supernaturally in all the people, and they all come and build together, rebuilding the city, rebuilding the temple. And then you remember Jesus on Palm Sunday when the people, he's entering in Jerusalem, and people are crying out to him, blessed be you, son of David, which is a kind of a prophetic, this is the Messiah kind of statement. And the Pharisees are saying, hey, you've got to shut those guys up. To say, well, you're not the Messiah, really. You better tell him to stop. What does Jesus say? If they stop, these stones or rocks will cry out. Getting the theme? and then here we are in Acts, the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit being poured out on all the people present, even the Gentiles. What is God doing? Then Paul talks about our bodies as the temple of the Spirit. Our human body is the temple for the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives within you. Have you got your mind around that? I'm calling that the small t temple. Right? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit individually. But here we are in our today's passage with Peter talking about us being living stones being built into a spiritual house together. And that's what I'm calling the capital T temple. Is that okay? Is he following? Sure, we're a temple individually and we should be worshiping, hosting the Holy Spirit like we should, but that's not the end of the story. And consider this, I'm calling it an irony. You know, Peter, who's writing this book, Jesus gave him the name Petros in Greek, which means rock. I love that. That's so good. So let's read it again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Is that okay? You're right to sit with this for a minute. In verse 2, I think he reminds us, in one verse, he reminds us of these two things, our identity and our destiny. It's like a who we are and a what. What are we going to do? What's our jobs? Who we are now as followers and what are we to do as we follow? If the small T temple is a small working model of restored creation for me personally, the big T temple is this everlasting grand project of renewal and redemption across the ages and across the world. One author calls it the great global rebuild. I love that. I think, does that stir you? Does that give you some hope? You've got a purpose and a place? In a time where there's so much challenging news in our headlines, What is my role in this world? How can I be a hope bringer? Because Peter is teaching his readers about how to live a Christian life in a hostile place. Like, they would have read the letter out to the people. And in that time, it was difficult to be a Christian. Being a Christian would lead to persecution, probably, or even worse. And I think the picture of us as living stones captures this wonder of the miraculous work that faith in Christ brings. That this is the first miracle. It's too obvious to say that stones are not living things, right? Duh. But before our faith in Christ, we were spiritually dead like a stone. And yet, God comes and gives us His grace and pardon and justification, and we are alive by grace through faith. Thank you, Lord. All glory be to your name. I came across this term that describes us as aliveness activists. Just read that during the week. I think that's a great title. Can we be some people who are active and sort of advocating for an alive life in the middle of all that comes and goes, all the downs and all the ups, all the happies and the sads, all the victories and the challenges and the losses? Can we be advocates for being alive? So I'm asking you this morning to do something impossible, I guess. I'm asking you, as we follow God's word here, let's have no hearts of stone and yet be a living stone. This is the second miracle, I think, what God does with us together. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
What, like we said at the start, like, we've already got different opinions about even some words that we use. And we haven't even come to any values discussions yet. Like how to vote. I'm sure we've got some opinions about that. We haven't talked about in Australia, in our nation, what in the First Nations people area, how do we accommodate that and talk about that as a group of Christians in our nation and all those discussion points. We haven't talked about climate change or recycling. There might be some different opinions in the room. Or we haven't talked about dishwasher stacking, all right? No, it's you've heard it said, we have different color skins, we have different cultures, but we all have the same color blood. And as Christians, we all have the same spirit, the same rock, and the same word. And so my heart, I can't answer this, like just reading the stats, there's 45,000 different Christian denominations in the world. Where did that come from? Is that really? Anyway, that's a whole other topic. Okay, so Francis Chan talks about this. He says he noticed that growing up as a Christian, there was a big focus on repentance and attending church and worshiping and experiencing God's love, all good things. And then as time progressed, he was studying the word more and more. It dawned on him there was more to it. Okay, we're not just meant to be individuals. We are a body, and that there's something supposed to happen as we gather as a body. You and me are one living stone, and the purpose of you and me is not just to be this rock out there on our own.
Yeah.
Feed me. He says somehow we stack together to build this spiritual house.
Yeah.
And he says mostly he was told, you need to develop your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Primarily, that's what he was told. And amen. That's true. You better have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But for him, it sort of everything became around that. And it was such a revelation to him that, yes, we are one stone, and God wants to build a temple out of us.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good.
It's this new covenant temple. The dwelling place of God, the Holy of Holies, is the people now. And I'm really conscious of trying to explain this because it's such deep work. It's such intimate, holy, personal work that the Lord does amongst us and in us. This, I pray that as we're talking and listening this morning, that there would be this profound reverence for the personal formation at work that God's working in us and each other. So that's my prayer. Come and soften us, Lord. Give us that deep worship and that lay down our lives for one another faith. The passage says that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and the foundation is the apostles and prophets, and somehow this new temple transcends time and we get to be one stone stacked on there. A type of unity that God is asking of us. And this is why the Lord's Prayer is not "My Father in heaven." It's "Our Father in heaven." You used to not be a people group. If you've got your Bibles there, just check out verse 9. You used to not be a people group, but now you are. Yeah. I've called you together. You're a nation now, a nation. We're part of this new nation that God is calling and building. And we're being built into an everlasting holy temple. Right. That means we're part of the stories of Peter and James and John and the Marys in Jesus' group. We're part of that story. We're part of the story of Saul becoming Paul, and Stephen the martyr, and Barnabas the leader, and Dorcas, that lady in Acts, always doing good and helping the poor. Remember in Acts, the community marveled at the early church? No one had a need amongst them, it says. Like whenever someone's in need, someone else sells something so that that need is taken care of. So I found myself wondering, I wonder what sort of picture we have in the community as the church, maybe as Emerge particularly. I think there's a good reputation. Like, please tell me if you think that's different, but I think there's lots happening amongst us. You know, simple things like the first Connection Point meeting on Wednesday. Go, Lynn. Go, team. At the end, there's an announcement. Someone needs a lift home today. Is anyone available to take someone back to Albany Creek? And then by the time the announcement was made, the person had already found someone to give them a lift. It's like, awesome. That's what we want. Simple things like that. This 90 seconds of friendliness, you know, that simple stirring to say, go and say hello to someone who you haven't met yet particularly. But the deeper meaning is because we are a part of one another, the scripture says. Yeah. We are all part of one another. Right. I've heard stories of people who've needed short-term accommodation in our body. And people have taken them in or given generous financial gifts. There's business people in our congregation who are helping others in the congregation to find work. You might notice that the number of missions that we support, or missionaries that we support, are not all only ACC brand, right? So there's other missional organizations that aren't just ACC that we are supporting. That's the whole idea. That's the bigger picture of our new body. We are working across the boundaries of countries and groups and even denominations, thank you, to see the kingdom come. Am I allowed to use a state of origin example? You might have seen the ad. Who was that? Who was that? I'm going to have a drink of water after. You might have seen the ad where the Queensland fans and the New South Wales fans are getting on the, like they're heading towards the bus. But they don't realize there's only one bus to the game. You've seen this? And when they get to the bus stop and the bus turns up, they get surprised because they're looking at each other going, I'm not going on the bus with you. You're a Blue supporter or you're a Maroon supporter. And that, but there's, and there's this precious tension in the ad where they just pause for a moment and then someone, and they just get on. And the last phrase is from a Maroon supporter to a Blue supporter, genuinely, is, watch your head. As we get on the bus together, despite our differences, despite our opinions, we're still going together. We're not going to fight this out on the bus. So, if that's an introduction to where we're going, what gets us there? I'm trying to keep it really practical. So, as a priest, how do we stay open to this building process? That's fair, isn't it? Like, we're a bit crusty sometimes, and we just get a bit hard, and we get a bit set in our ways. How will God ever build us together? So here's a couple of things. But first, incidentally, do you see yourself as a priest? Because that's the call on us. Because I know there's a lot of different images and loaded meanings of that word today. Maybe worth exploring as you consider what this is saying this morning. What does it look like for us to be set apart, anointed to minister to our parents, our spouses, our family, our friends, and called into that role? And the heart, our hearts, this is the closest analogy I can think of to a living stone that I can think of, because we talk about how sometimes our hearts are hard, or we have soft hearts. So I'm trying to mix the metaphor a bit, but I hope that's okay. So I'm thinking in verse 4 here, in verse 5, there's three teachings that tell us how do we do that. It says, number 4, verse 4, keep coming to him. The very first three words. Keep, 4 words. As you come to him, it's assumed that you will keep coming to Christ. Daily, hourly, whatever it is. Keep coming back to the Lord. Everything in these two verses seems to come from this, the start of this sentence. As you come to him, this returning action. In the second bit of this message this morning, I'm going to offer you a heart check. We'll come back to that. So just, because out of our heart condition will determine how easily we are able to be built, how often we come back to Christ. Secondly, it says, be buildable. You're being built. We are being built together, verse 5. And it's in the Greek, it's continuous tense, thankfully. That the God continues to come back to and say, hey, no, come back this direction, or come back to faith, come back to love. And I thought of, you know, that he lovingly, graciously shapes us in this process. I thought about some words that describe the building process. You ready for this? Chiseled. Cut. Sanded. Gluing us back together, maybe. Good. Fixed, yeah. Polished, shaped, molded. Yeah. Anyone feeling any of them at the moment? Yeah. And thirdly, offer spiritual sacrifices. Yeah. You know, in the Old Testament, the priests would come and offer a sacrifice on behalf of someone, right? So that's it's different now. We're not offering sacrifices on behalf of other people. Christ is and is the full sacrifice. It's been done. We're not doing that bit, but there are many other acts of sacrifice that the Bible talks about. A sacrifice of thanksgiving, Psalm talks about. The sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart, Psalm 51. The sacrifice of prayer and praise, The sacrifice of doing good and sharing with each other. This is Hebrews 13. The sacrifice of self. And here's another delicious paradox. Living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You thought living stone was tough. Living sacrifice. I hope we can get into that. And of course, we offer these sacrifices through Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest who oversees. This is the new, it's beautiful. This is where we as individuals can focus on who God has made us to be, right? So in this great building project, we know we're all living stones, but we're all not the same shape, right? We have different personalities, we have different histories, we have different abilities, we have different nationalities, different approaches to lots of things. But somehow God is building us together. The second miracle. So, where do these kind of behaviors come from? How do we keep coming back to Christ? How do we be buildable? How do we offer spiritual factors, sacrifices? I think it's from our hearts, our inner life. And who curates your inner life? Me. And thankfully, not just me on my own, because I know that looks for me, it looks overwhelming. Like, I know how messy I am, right? I'm not formed fully yet. I know how much work there is to do in me. Let me just ask my wife. But I start off the day with time with my brother Jesus Christ, who can do over and above what I see, more than I ask or think, thankfully. Oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. It comes from my heart. So let's do a heart check. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Not the treadmill one. The inner life one. So, and can I, as we talk about these couple of things, can I encourage you to kind of sit in that third person view? So third person is like you're a fly on the wall looking at yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You have to be pretty brave to do this, I think, because you actually have to then go, I didn't notice that, or I did notice, I just ignored it. What does the Bible mean when we talk about our hearts? Both Old Testament and New Testament carry this same idea that it's not the physical organ, but the seat of our emotions, our intellect, our will, and our moral character. It's the very center of our spiritual life. Our hearts. So just want to be cautious here, because these are deep things. Like, we're all, I know many of the stories where we're facing things and trying to process how life is unfolding for us. So I want to be encouraging and urge us back to the Lord. Verse 4. Keep coming to Him.
Yeah.
And I guess as I'm going through these, there's four sections to this little heart check. Just be aware, Lord, what are you saying to me? Is there one area? Just be aware of Him nudging you. Part one is a softness test. There's just a general, you know, if you're looking at yourself and go, yeah. Is there a willingness to listen to a different opinion? Is there ability that the Lord has to move you, perhaps when you hear His prompting, and do you move? Or you see a situation like disadvantage, how do you react to that? So it's really just a general softness test. Part two, you got a line. This is called the salty test, right? So down one end is salty. I think it's a noun, as in the salt of the earth, pleasant, beautiful. People value who you are for your contribution, your ability to manage life or whatever it is. Then the other end is salty, as in you live awake in your path, right? When you come in and out of situations, you react strongly or even hurtfully sometimes. Salty test. Where would you put the X? Part three, it's the love test. As in love, as in agape love, that decision to love, love, not the romantic or the even the brotherly love. Well, that's part of it too. But so you might have done this before. I'm just going to read through 1 Corinthians 13 and just imagine your name where the word says love. Right? So, this is the love test. Yeah, I've said that. Let me just read this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. And love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. And love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes, and love always perseveres. Is this okay?
Yeah, so good.
Part four. This is the growth test. Where is your effort going into to grow into Christ, to grow into this amazing temple, spiritual house that he wants to build? As you build up your most holy faith in the Lord, because there's this tension in the scripture where God does this work and we also have a part in doing the work. He wants, what does he want to build in you, and who does he want you to build to become, and who does he want you to build with? It's just like, I thought, okay, I'm going to add another teaching from the Apostle Peter, who wrote this in the first place. In his second letter, he writes this other little passage in the first chapter. And so, let's have a look at that. It's like, how much of the circle have you got? Like, it's like a pie chart. Are all the bits in there? Like, things. So, because he says this, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And the word effort there is like, God, this is really urgent, right? You've got to do something and make this a priority. Make every effort to add to your faith. So there's the first one. This is the growth test. So how's your faith growing? Add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. The message has warm friendliness there. And to warm friendliness, love. Again, love keeps showing up. What? If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone want that?
Yeah.
Please, Lord. I don't want to be ineffective and unproductive.
Yeah.
He's made me so much more than that. I don't know. How's that? Heart test.
So
done. Smile. Smile at me. It's all good. We're on the same journey. We've talked about how do we let God do his heart work, this inner work in us. Maybe the better question perhaps is, when do we do this? Well, I think we're constantly told what we need to do. It's pretty important to make time to reflect, talk with our friends, be part of a community as you are doing. So can I encourage you to go and make some prayer space after this? Be with him and let us share this afternoon or tonight maybe. Because his voice is loving. He loves you. He wants you to bring you more and more like Jesus. Yeah. So, imagine like before Jesus, you were going through the temple, you might do a guided tour. It might sound like this. Imagine, okay, you can see the Western Wall here. This is the temple site. You'll see all the great walls and blocks of stone, but actually you can't see the stones because of the paneling inside and the gold sheeting inside and the decorated pomegranates. It's just stunning. They were hand-chiseled. And here's the courts where only the Gentiles could go, and here's the inner court where the Jews could go, and then in the very inner place where only the high priest could go. Whereas if you had a guided tour of the New Testament temple, let me introduce you to Lynn Abrahams. What an amazing story of faithfulness in youth ministry, marriage, overseas missions. Who knows where all those leaders are from there now? Have you met Kent Fennell, a great prayer warrior? Is Kent here? How many times have we been protected because of one of his prayers and the prayers of the intercessors team? What about even Phil Rutsch? They had a life group recently, until just recently, that every continent on the planet was represented in their group. That would be fun to be part of. I could talk about my grandparents, Les and Alice, who were still holding hands when they sat down for a pic with me, who was 8. They were leaders in their church in Childers. They weren't paid. They had their own full house and a whole pineapple farm to manage and kids to educate. Are you thinking of people? Are you thinking of your people? Or you could meet my mum and dad, who was, when they were dating, they were at a young adults conference, and they heard a call out for volunteers to go and do primary teaching for a 12-month period on an Aboriginal mission in Arnhem Land. And Mum said yes. And her and Dad got engaged just before she left, and then she went, while she was away, she did a double. She signed up for another 12 months. And left Dad waiting here in Brisbane. I mean, how much time we got? I'm running out of time, but we haven't even mentioned the writings by Luke, who was actually with Jesus, John, the foundation stone authors. Yeah? You have to read those. And there's living stones in other nations as well. You'll have to get to know the people in the church in Iran, the people of the church in Ukraine. Interesting, there's a lot of female home church leaders in Iran, apparently. And there's Christians, part of the living temple, our home church, in refugee camps across the whole world, in war-torn nations today. Maybe that's what a guided tour would sound like. You can make your own up. Talk about the other stones that you know, living stones. Remember, as we grow older, our testimonies grow bigger. We can talk about the beautiful blessings that we've experienced and seen, but also we can talk about a whole lot of heavy, deep, hard challenges, which we only got through because of the something bigger, this greater temple that we're part of. This is big. I want to be part of something that big, don't you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm in. So, I want to share a little personal thing here in the context of this thought, as we just change attack a little bit. As my closest living stones. Me and my family would really appreciate your prayers over the next few weeks as I prepare for some major surgery on the 22nd of July. I need to have my prostate removed. After doctors found some cancer cells, early stage, mostly slow growing. So they're confident that once it's removed, that'll be the end of it. It's similar to Pastor Mark's experience last year. So me too, I'm confident in my great God who determines times and seasons for a good outcome. And seriously, I value your support and your prayer during this time. I'll be off for at least 4 weeks. Not looking forward to that. But maybe five or six. So can you please look to your life group leaders, as you would normally do, for support if and how you need it, and your department leaders, and, of course, other pastors are around as well. So Psalm 18, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, my rock, my fortress, and deliverer." I'm holding on to that. So let me finish with a sweet spot. Thanks, band. This quote from Rabbi Sharon Bruce in the US. If the sweet spot is this intersection of mutual concern and shared purpose, mutual concern, shared purpose, I want to put my roots down in a community like that. Yeah? Such a community sees every ritual, every service, every gathering as an opportunity for deepening this connection with each other. It invests in people as complicated, multifaceted, wounded even, beautiful individuals, each one essential to the greater whole. This kind of community is fueled by questions like, who are you and what brings you here? Rather than, what do you do for work? Who are you? What brings you here? And the kind of community that we're after establishes spiritual anchors, regular opportunities for people to pray and sing and grieve and learn and reflect together. It recognizes the collective power of people, of good will, working to help heal the broader society and prioritizes creating pathways for the holy work to be done in each other. I hope this has been encouraging. He's building us together. I don't want it to be heavy. I don't want you to walk ahead and think, oh man, I'm so far from the finish line. How could God ever use me? No, but the miracle of the living stone is that we are alive, number one, and together, number two, with others. We're being built up for these purposes. This purpose, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we're going. Let's pray. Lord, we give you our hearts. We give you our souls. We live for you alone. Our great God, the Father, the Son, the great cornerstone, the Savior, the Spirit, the great boulder builder. Our God is walking amongst the stones and the walls and the tunnels and the rooms and the epochs and the trials and the war zones and the flood zones from across the world. And he walks down our aisles and touches us each on the shoulder and breathes life into our being. And he's building us together as his temple. Maybe it's your first time at church, or first time at church since you were a kid, maybe, and looking further into faith. And I'm conscious of the work of the Holy Spirit here amongst us. So I'm just wondering if there's anybody here who would like to say, perhaps for the first time, okay, today is the day. I've heard enough. I've seen enough. I'm coming in. I'm laying my life down. I take the crown off my own head, and I acknowledge Jesus is the great King, and I surrender to Him and put my faith in Him. We're going to stay just in prayer for a moment. Does anyone here want to do that? Could you put your hand up and let me know? I'd love to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Let's take a moment to worship before we go, and then ask those questions. Who are you? What brings you here? Thanks.